You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you find yourself having to wait, maybe in a parking lot, maybe in a line for coffee, what's the very first thing you do? U of M Institute for Social Research scientist Daniel Kruger got to wondering about that question, and he turned it into an observational study. His results seem to prove we are not able to just be, not when there's a smartphone that we can whip out. Daniel, good to have you with us.
Hello. Good to be with you again.
What pointed you toward studying just how we're filling our downtime?
Well, it goes back several years. I gave an invited talk at a small college in Ohio, and at that time, they didn't have any cell phone towers. So when I was walking around campus, it was a very different experience because people were very social. They were looking at each other in the eyes, smiling and talking to each other spontaneously. And for me, this was kind of like a step back into a utopian time past. So it made me really wonder about this intersection of this virtual space and social space. So we decided to take a look at this to just see what happens when people are in live space. How often are they using their phones?
So what kind of situations did you observe?
So these are people who are waiting for something to happen, whether it's waiting for a class to start, waiting for a line for coffee, waiting for the bus. So basically downtime, you know, times that we would have in the past considered downtime where we're expecting something to happen, we're waiting for something to happen, but we have the opportunity to fill our time in some way. So we decided to see, well, how many people would actually converse with those around them versus how many people would actually go on their cell phones and reach out to their virtual world, whether they're going to be texting people actively or just going on Facebook.
What'd you find?
Well, we found that most people did go on their phones. If people are in a live conversation, they're less likely to. But those people who went on their phones did it really quickly. So most of them did it within the first 10 seconds, and 80% of people did it within the first 20 seconds.
We can't bear to just be.
Right. You know, so any opportunity where we would normally, be there waiting for something to happen is a potential opportunity to, you know, get into our virtual world.
Fall into Facebook, start tweeting, check Instagram, start texting, that virtual world. And, you know, I'm thinking of a few years back, and it was before I had an iPhone that I could take out and fall into my virtual world. I was in a long line at a post office, and an elderly gentleman was next to me in line. And somehow we got to talking, and here I discovered he had been a prisoner of war in World War II. This incredible story that we were able to kind of unpack in the time we were waiting in line. So we're losing moments like that.
Right, yeah. The next time you go out to a coffee shop or something, just look to see how many people are on their phones when they're waiting in line. And this is something, you know, that does raise some concern. Are people going to be so sucked into their virtual worlds that they're not socializing with those people who are around them? You know, potential opportunities to meet people and hear, you know, about their lives and really interesting stories, or even just to have social interactions with other people in their environment.
And I'm curious whether you found any difference between men and women.
Well, we did predict a difference, and we predicted that women would be more likely to use their phones because they tend to be more conversational, more social than men, and that was the case. So women were more likely to use their phones than men, but both men and women took the same amount of time to use them. So it wasn't like women used them quicker, it's just that they were more likely to use them. And also people who were in a live conversation were less likely to use their phones than those who wouldn't, but still a substantial proportion, you know, like about 32% of people still use their phones when they're in conversation, and 70% did when they weren't.
So what worries does all of this create in your mind?
Well, you know, we want to make sure that people are getting the benefits of this technology, but we don't want it to detract from or interfere with our real life socialization. Mm-hmm. So one of the challenges we have is that, you know, people who are growing up with this technology, you know, it's almost, you could almost see it as like a crutch where this is how they socialize. But what happens when they actually have to talk to a stranger in real life social space? You know, are they going to be able to carry on, appropriate social interactions? You know, are they going to be, you know, limited just to the friends that they have in their virtual social network.
The folks that they can shoot texts to or that they can Snapchat with or send Instagram photos with. But you're saying looking eye to eye could pose a problem?
Right, yeah. And that actually poses, you know, even a social challenge in the sense that people could become increasingly isolated and not know the people around them, you know, not even know the people in their own community, their neighbors, the people who, you know, share a social space with them. Because each person is surrounded by their own little social bubble.
And this is one of the first studies, am I correct, to explore how we use our phones while we're waiting?
Right, because most research that's done on cell phones is through surveys where people are self-reporting their activities. There are some people who can use an app or get the data from the phones itself about, you know, how often people are using it, how many minutes a day. But you really have to do an observational study to see how people are using it in social space.
As you say, it seems quaint. It wasn't that long ago when we weren't standing there thumbing through a screen.
Yeah, I think it would be difficult for most people today to carry on with their daily lives, you know, without phones, without the internet and such. And it's almost unimaginable. How did people, you know, how did people work? How did people arrange things, you know, 40, 50 years ago? So our world has changed considerably. And there are people who are living in, you know, so-called dark areas, you know, near radio telescopes where cell phones interfere with the signal. There's people who choose to live in those environments where, you know, cell phones just don't work. But I think for most people, that is maybe much of a stretch. So, you know, trying to find a good balance. So being able to use your phone, being able to use the internet for those purposes that it's good for, but at the same time, carve out some time for real life interactions, for some social space, you know, for meeting and talking to strangers so that we don't lose the human connection.
Good advice, Daniel Kruger, scientist with the U of M Institute for Social Research. His study is published in the Journal of Technology in Behavioral Science, and you've certainly given me something to think about, and I am going to tell myself I'm going to keep that thing in my purse and put eyes up and look around at the people around me.
Thanks. Excellent.
Thanks so much for being with us.
It's good to see you again.